Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Donors Choose is helping classrooms across the country that are facing a funding crisis. Right now, schools don't even have classroom essentials like pencils, scissors, and books. Without supplies, students are unable to find their spark of imagination. But with Donors Choose, people like you connect directly with teachers to make sure students have what they need to succeed. Choose students. Shape the future. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me in studio now is Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure, Infrastructure Reform and Digitalisation. Fianna Fáil TD as well. Minister, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran.
So if Exchequer returns today, we'll talk about Donald Trump and everything in just a moment because obviously it is relevant to these Exchequer returns into the future. But what have we learned today from the figures?
Well, it shows we have a really strong, resilient tax base in quarter one of this year. We've seen continued growth across income tax, VAT and corporation tax in quarter one. A surplus of 1.8 billion euro when you exclude the windfall of tax receipts from Apple. And that's up nearly 9% year on year. We've also seen a moderation of current expenditure, which is up about 6%, down from at 11% in February, which is positive in terms of the overall expenditure management within the economy. We had the Exchequer returns today published beside the concern on trade and tariffs. But it shows that we have, with strong levels of employment and continued growth in terms of Indigenous business and foreign direct investment, that's contributing to a position of surplus for the Irish economy. And when you compare that to many European countries, they're in a deficit position, struggling to achieve growth. We're at a position of strength, and we need to manage that now over the coming period of uncertainty.
And how do we manage it?
Well, we need to, I suppose, focus on the core fundamentals, which have received legitimate criticism in the last number of months. So we know the paralysis and difficulty when it comes to infrastructure delivery and the need to increase the level of ambition and around our infrastructure delivery. So we're reviewing the National Development Plan. But sitting beside that, a process of reform will be underpinned by the new infrastructure division, which I'm establishing to try and accelerate some of the timelines around water, energy, housing, transport infrastructure, which has gone on for too long. And that will help. That's an enabler of growth. We know that much of what is reflected in those areas is impacted by excessive delays, and having ongoing investment in capital infrastructure will be crucial to our future. And then the work that's being done around competitiveness in our economy and ensuring that we continue to diversify markets with Enterprise Ireland and the IDA, these are all central to what we'll be engaging with the Trade Forum and business partners tomorrow so that we can continue to pivot towards prosperity and growth for the future. And economic growth is central in any economy.
Our ability to fund that infrastructural investment, is that dependent on continued growth? I'm just conscious of people using the R word today and the possibility of recession, maybe not necessarily in this country, but certainly from a US point of view and some European countries, and all of that impacts on us, and it might impact growth and the level of Exchequer return. Might that hamper our ability to invest in the grid and water infrastructure and transport and housing?
Well, some of what we're using for that capital investment is the windfall receipts we've received from the Apple judgment, the AIB share sale, and the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund, which is there and is put aside. I think one of the lessons from previous downturns or difficulties, and I'm not suggesting that there will be one, but we are in a period of uncertainty, is that capital investment shrunk, and that impacted growth and prosperity in the years to come. So there are expenditure choices here, and that's what we'll be setting out in the medium-term fiscal plan. How do we protect capital investment and enhance it? So, but not for every area of our economy, in strategic areas, and that's why housing, energy, water and transport are critical. And protecting that, and also being careful around changes we make to overall taxation and expenditure will form part of our budgetary plan. We're in a serious level of uncertainty when it comes to overall economic projections. But if you see the resilience and growth in quarter one of this year, that's expected to continue through this year. But the level of uncertainty crystallizes in future years if the level of employment growth doesn't happen as was projected, or investment decisions are paused. This all affects the growth prospects in the coming years, and that's all being assessed by economists in the Department of Finance and elsewhere.
And the evidence for some of that uncertainty is anecdotal to a degree at the moment. You know, the hard evidence is what we have before our eyes, and it's positive, as you say, kind of up 9% last year in Q1 when you take away that Apple tax money. Exchequer returns up almost 2 billion. But you do begin to hear talk of companies maybe pausing decisions, just withholding investment, and none of that is good news for the economy in the long run.
No, Matt, very much negative, and that's the uncertainty that the announcement last night brought to boardrooms across Indigenous business in Ireland and indeed foreign direct investors. I think a lot of FDI though takes a longer view through government cycles, and they see the position Ireland sits within the European Union with an industrial base and a population of 450 million in the European Union, which is one of the biggest single markets. A lot of companies that invest in Ireland from the international sphere invest to export into the European market. So that's a context as well. But we know that the medium-term position is uncertain, and this has been the biggest, most disruptive announcement in global trade in decades. Yeah. And what's important now is what the European Commission have set out by President von der Leyen. How do we take a calm and measured response to try and funnel this into negotiations and trying to come to an arrangement with the US to preserve the interrelated supply chains that we've developed over decades?
And is the nature of the concern from a government point of view that as that uncertainty, if that uncertainty were to persist and there were to be a global economic downturn, that some of the commitments made in the programme for government you just wouldn't be able to meet? That they are based on a kind of a continually growing economy. And listen, you know, we've Pascal Donoghue in here talking about the programme for government. He acknowledged it is high on aspiration, and you're going to need a lot of money to meet all of those promises. Is that the nature of concern?
The government sets out a 5-year timeline to deliver the broader objectives across different departments. There will be opportunities to make progress in the programme for government in the context of Budget 2026. But we've been very clear, if the fundamentals of our economic position change, we won't make decisions that will harm the medium-term prospects of the Irish economy. But we have very clear objectives in education, people with disabilities, in housing, for example. Some of that relates to capital investment, which we need to preserve. But we'll have a clearer picture in the medium-term fiscal plan, which we're establishing and which we set out in July of this year, about what's possible for Budget 2026. But a changing economic environment requires prioritisation. And in any budget, regardless of the economic position, ministers have to prioritise. Yeah. And that's what they'll be doing in the context of the programme for government.
Well, how much relief was there that the pharmaceutical sector has managed to... Well, a stay of execution might be what it got last night.
I don't think we can take much optimism from last night when it comes to any sector. We know this will be protracted. It's the first phase of a multiple of interventions potentially. And you couldn't come to any positive conclusion on any sector on the basis of what was announced last night.
Yeah, I think traditionally pharmaceutical products, medtech sector products, anything to do with human health tend to be... ring-fenced in any trade war. Certainly they have in the past. And there was a suggestion, I think, in advance of yesterday that Donald Trump was the type of person to rip up the running order and the rules. Why do you think he didn't include the pharmaceutical sector?
Well, it could be something he held back for future negotiations.
Okay.
It's also, we know factually, though, that much of what's produced here from a pharmaceutical perspective is a component in the final product, which is produced then in the US. And in fact, it would only harm US manufacturing and production in, from a pharmaceutical perspective, if a particular component received a tariff. So I think that's possibly a consideration, but I couldn't come to any optimistic conclusion on the base of what was announced last night.
How do you understand the 39% tariff he suggests that is imposed on US products being imported into the European Union?
I don't think he's published his formula, and there's a lot of...
So you don't know where he got it?
Well, he has said it relates to VAT, which wouldn't be typically included in a tariff consideration, and most independent economists who've evaluated this are puzzled about how the overall position was established by the US. But clearly they're combining deficits and what they perceive as deficits on goods with VAT and other tariffs to come to a particular percentage figure, and that's formed the basis of their calculations.
If he can't be negotiated out of the position he took last night from a European Union point of view, is it a fait accompli that we will have to impose retaliatory, I'm just going to say tariffs, I'm going to drop the word, I'll stumble over it, that we'll have to impose tariffs in response?
Well, we've been clear we want the negotiation to take place. It's transparent that the EU is working on countermeasures if that doesn't result in an agreed outcome, but the priority is that. That will be hugely damaging when it comes to, you know, the cost even of imports, which we require in supply chains in other export markets, and that will be seriously
disruptive. But is there an argument that you don't? That and this is an argument that Sinn Féin have made, is that you actually just hold off on imposing any tariffs on US products into Ireland, that or into the European Union, that all that does is hurt the European consumer. And if, as you say, you manage to diversify the markets, our export markets, then the danger in the long term of companies relocating to the US from Ireland is less pronounced.
Well, the European Union are prioritising negotiations as a first move, and that's why... that's why they've outlined and articulated that. And it was a very calm and measured response from President von der Leyen. But if things escalate, and they might, that obviously could result in potential countermeasures. And we know the net impact of that. But there are also things the European Union can do within its own internal market, within the single market, to reform it, to address the need for greater simplification, to promote business and innovation. And there's been legitimate concern amongst the business community that Europe hasn't been a place for the level of innovation which we see in other parts of the world. And now is an opportunity for the European Union. And I know we had ECB President Christine Lagarde with Pat Kenny yesterday spoke to this, is that it's an opportunity for the European Union to accelerate some of the measures it can take in the context of the single market, simplification, and ensure that we increase growth within the single market itself. And it is of enormous strength, and it's in terms of a trading block. And that's why a lot of the foreign direct investment which exists in Ireland, yes, some of it goes back to the US, but much of it is there to access the EU market itself.
Yeah. So do you think it's self-defeating, actually, then, in the long term, from Donald Trump's point of view, if he doesn't roll back, that actually it does cause to isolate the United States? You mentioned Ursula von der Leyen, Commission President. She's in Central Asia today, you know, talking up the investment opportunities and the trade opportunities between Central Asia and the European Union. This is the kind of diversification you're talking about.
That's the power of the European Union, has been its ability to develop a single market and promote international trade to build peace and prosperity. That's been its strength over so many years. And clearly what President Trump is doing, we see from the US markets and elsewhere, it'll impose costs on consumers. It will harm growth for business. And I don't think it'll result in the outworking that he's articulated in terms of the future of the US economy. You know how difficult it is to reshore manufacturing, for example.
Yeah, I suspect some people in the Trump circle might have been panicking yesterday when Brian from the Automotive Workers Union stood up and said, within 6 months, we're going to have those plants open in Detroit. Donald Trump hadn't put a timeline on it, but Brian did, whoever he was. How concerned are you about the different tariffs imposed on products from the UK compared to the Republic of Ireland, given
we'll have to assess that. So we've had contact with the Northern Ireland authorities, the Windsor framework sets out how that's managed within the context of differential on tariffs. So obviously there'll be an added complexity with products which could be produced with a mix of all island components, and we'll have to work through that complexity with Northern Ireland authorities. There's already been contact from the Taoiseach around that.
Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure, Fianna Fáil TD. Minister, thanks so many for joining us.
Thanks, Ciarán.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Public schools across the country are facing a funding crisis, and classrooms are going without the essentials like pencils and books. But with the help of Donors Choose, people like you connect directly with teachers so students get what they need to succeed. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org today.